was asking you, Mr. Olson, if you had any idea whether pavement encompassed the store, and you said you thought not.
That's right. My first recollections of this was when I came here as a student, and I think I ought to go back just a little bit, because I lived in New York at that time, and I decided to come to Clemson, was accepted, and so I went down to the Pennsylvania Railroad Terminal to buy a railroad ticket to Clemson. Now, I knew that Clemson was here, and they assured me at the ticket office in New York that there's no place like Clemson. So the way that I got here or bought the ticket was that we tracked it from Greenville, and it's well, and we went from Greenville to Easley to Liberty to Central to a town by the name of Calhoun to Seneca. So I bought a ticket to Calhoun because I said it's got to be that way on it. So
that was what day?
Well, that was in 1934, and I guess in August of 1934 or first of September, somewhere around.
When you got off at the train stop, how did you get to the college?
You walked. Now, I came here with a trunk. It was really a steamer trunk or a wardrobe trunk, rather. So you couldn't carry the thing, and who was it that used to have the mules up here?
Captain Clink.
Captain Clink. Captain Clink met all trains with a couple mules and a wagon, and he took whatever baggage was there and carted it on up to the college. Now, it was a dirt road, and I do not remember any road between that depot and the store. Now, if it was, I just missed it, but it couldn't possibly have been paved, though.
Well, certainly, if the road to the college wasn't paved, you wouldn't expect that one to be.
That's exactly right.
Do you by any chance remember how much you paid to get your trunk over to the college?
I think it was 50 cents. That I think is about right.
Captain Clinkscales, who carried my husband's bag, was still in the moving business when we moved in 1951, because he moved us from right up the street into this house.
Not with mules.
No, a truck. No. An open truck.
Was his store still on College Avenue at that time?
Well, he had it, yeah.
Well,
an old
yeah,
office.
But not the old mule barns.
No.
Just the office itself.
Just the office itself, yeah. But when you left the high ground in there, what you did was to walk down the hill and sort of swing over, make a curve over to the right and go down through the bottom, and there was a bridge down there over the stream, and this is, I guess, the stream out here, because it goes right straight down, and it's what we call the old carriage road, which left there, and we see traces of it even still today. Now, this road that's in front of the Presbyterian Church,
the high part,
that is part of the old carriage road. And it sort of wound its way down into the bottom in there and then came back on up in here. But the...
What kind of little bridge was that, and how wide was it? Big enough for a carriage?
Oh, yeah. That was the only link, really, between what we call Clemson and what was old Calhoun. And I don't know of anybody that... Well, there were so few cars around here, so I really don't know whether the car ever went over that thing or not, but I imagine it did. It should have been a fairly sturdy one, although they had a flood here someplace along the line that swept it out, and that's when they built College Avenue.
About what year was that? While you were in school?
No, it was after that.
Before you moved to this house?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say sometime... Well, I tell you, I came back here in 1946, I guess it was, and College Avenue was here at that time.
And then pretty much a straight shoot.
It was a straight shot, right straight up. And I remarked to my wife, I said, boy, this place has really changed.
Was it paved then also?
It was paved, yeah. It was four lane and paved.
And that
pictures of that in Taps. But I remember when I came here, though, it was a dirt street that went straight on up to the college. And I can remember when old, what was it, US 123 came down here, and I can remember the year that it was paved, which was in 1930. Before that, see, my brother and I, my brother went to Toccoa Falls Academy and from Asheville, and we used to come by Clemson, and that's how I got to know Clemson.
And by 123, you're talking about what at that time was the road coming over the old Seneca River Bridge.
That's
and what is now called 93.
93, that's
right.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time it was 123, and it was only paved in 19...
About 1930, as well as I recall. It might have been 1931, but it was right in there.
And that must have been the only paved road in the area.
Well, I can remember going across it before it got paved, because we got stuck in the mud in a rainstorm up here in which they had took mules and pulled the car out. So, I was telling my students that one day up there, and they said, "You're pulling my leg." I said, "I can tell you some other stories, too."
You mentioned a few minutes ago the stream just across College Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask in that context if you've heard of one of the other houses in this area way back, Cold Spring Place.
Well, this area here is called Cold Spring Harbor.
Cold Spring.
Yeah. This Long Island.
Cold Spring Harbor is right outside of Oyster Bay, New York. So
I'm told that the plantation house, which was a Calhoun one, related to the Kiwi Calhouns, was not too many yards from where you live. And it got its name from some springs over near the little creek you're talking about across College Avenue.
Well,
the creek we're talking about is the one that's in the front yard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Edna Crane, that my wife said about in here, she used to be our maid here and was our maid for I don't know how many years.
About
20 years. And she remembers when the old slave cabins were right up this creek
right
between
here.
Us and Bob Burley.
And they were the cabins for the Calhoun.
That's right.
Plantation.
So, and your address is 104.
104
Circle.
And where does Bob Burley live?
He lives
right
on Pool Lane,
end,
which is
just at the end here.
Right on the end.
So these would have been only a 100 yards or so at best from your house.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What were they made of? Were they small wooden structures?
I guess so.
I guess they were on it.
There were three or four of them. And as when we first moved here and my husband planted a garden down between here and Bob Burley before the duplexes were built, we found all sorts of artifacts that would have been part of slave quarters. Old pottery, old garden tools, all sorts of things, horseshoes. So we know there was a plantation here.
As far as I know, there are no pictures or anything else remaining of it, so it's only a few reminiscences.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. You said when you came to Clemson Agricultural College, you had difficulty with your train ticket and eventually found a Calhoun station after you got closer. What was the relationship between Calhoun and Clemson when you came here to college? Were they separate communities?
Well, they were separate communities, and Clemson was strictly the college area, and then the Calhoun area, then this was workers and, I mean, you know, the staff and this sort of thing.
Weren't it? Calhoun was where there were mostly residences.
That's right.
Few
yeah.
Stores.
That's what I was trying to say. And the area up there behind the Presbyterian Church is what we used to call Chiggerville, and that was just being developed at that time. So.
And basically, as I gather from the Presbyterian Church all the way up to the depot, was totally empty.
Virtually, yeah. Mm-hmm. Plain woods and just completely overgrown as. And the road just simply meandering through there.
Now, have you found the old cemetery back over in isn't there a cemetery? And the old schoolhouse, the little tiny building that was the school high?
On the college property?
No, back over in Calhoun.
No, I haven't.
Well, I think there is a, there was a little old building back over in there that was the schoolhouse, and I thought, now maybe the cemetery's out near Clemson Lumber Company.
There is a family cemetery where 93 and 123 merged, the Boggs family cemetery.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
But there was a little schoolhouse over in Calhoun.
And the Wesleyan Methodist Church was there since 1950.
Oh, it was?
In the same building.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You found, I think, some additional information we ought to look at about Mamie Crawford and her father's house.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I talked to Miss Annie Lee Boggs, who wrote a history of the Pendleton Presbyterian Church. And she said in her book that she had researched and found that Mr. John Wesley Cochran also built the Pendleton Presbyterian Church, which he began in June of 1891. And that Mary Cochran Crawford, a daughter of Mr. Cochran, remembers...
Excuse me, this is the lady we've been calling Mamie.
Yeah, Mamie Crawford, but her name was Mary, was a daughter of Mr. Cochran, remembers that her parents told her that they moved into their home in 1889 and that her father had also built that. She resided there until her death. She said that Ramsey Doyle, a son of Dr. Doyle, was the telegraph operator and the station manager for the railroad.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Okay.
I have just been through 15 years of the first catalogs of Clemson Agricultural College, and from 1893 to 1910 or later, only 1 year did they have a commercial advertisement at all, and that was on the back cover about 1905 for Southern Railway, and it listed him as the station agent here at Calhoun.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Dr. Doyle had two other sons who were physicians in Seneca, and some members of this Doyle family are buried in the Old Stone Church Cemetery.
Incidentally, they are the only people I've seen in Old Stone Church Cemetery that have the crypts above ground.
Oh, really?
Yes, so they're easily noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Crawford told me that Mr. Morgan, after he dissolved the partnership with Mr. Boggs, opened another store right next door, and that was just torn down a couple of years ago. It was a long building, put on a lot the way Charleston houses are. He soon moved his business to Seneca, leaving two general merchandise stores in that one block of Calhoun. That would have been your grandfather's?
Well, there are actually three. The Boggs store, your building, what had been Mr. Morgan's short-term store in that cruder building.
Mm-hmm.
It was decent, but it was not a very expensive place, just an old wooden house. And apparently someone else ran in a while after Mr. Morgan left,
mm-hmm.
and then across the street
was
your grandfather's store.
Okay.
But at that time, it was fairly difficult to buy many groceries around the college, so as you said earlier, Mr. Boggs would go all over the place and had people helping him, who would go door to door taking orders, and then the groceries would be delivered.
Right.
Miss Eva Payne, who was a bookkeeper for Mr. Boggs for 11 years, remembered that the store frequently stayed open until 10 o'clock at night, and they worked late to settle up the accounts, you know.
I've heard from some of the town people who had shopped there that, as you said before, particularly in the summer when everybody would congregate outside and sit on the benches to talk and chat and so forth and probably have a Coca-Cola or whatever, that the store was open and probably Mr. Boggs had a difficult time ever shutting up.
Yeah. another, this is not historical, but it was of interest to us, that when the word got out that we were interested in buying the building, this group of architects approached us. We did not approach them. They came and said, oh, every architect in two states has been interested in this building. Would you consider letting us help you with this plan, and that we would rent the downstairs office on the residence side, and our work for you we would take out and rent?
Mm-hmm.
And that we did that for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And you also, in earlier years, I believe, had some shops in the building as
well. Well, we had a garden, an antique shop downstairs, and a woman. I had a gift shop upstairs. That was not at all successful. She was, and I'm glad nobody will hear this tape but you, but she was in financial trouble when she rented it, and we didn't know it. But it has been very successful as a restaurant.
You see, the reason that we called this Calvin Corners, we started out with Corners. And then, it's in Calvin, and if we're going to call it Corners, therefore, that's where this how it came together. But what we really were thinking about, and the original design in the building, was to have small areas and have different shops, preferably one in each one of the corners. So then that's what we ought to call it, is the corners. But it never worked out that way, because we didn't know that the lodges wanted the whole downstairs, you know, and that wiped out four corners right there or more, and then somebody else rented the upstairs on it, and so that wiped out the rest of them.
We had a physician who was a psychiatrist in the upstairs of the residence side, and then the town rented
the architects had it,
and then when they left, one of the architects left to go out west as dean of the School of Architecture, and the other two, one of them was away so much they felt they could not afford to stay, because they had worked out their fee by that time. So we've had a variety of tenants, but the one reason the restaurant is so popular, in addition to the fact that, especially at lunch, it's reasonable, people love to go there and talk, and you wouldn't believe when people first walk in, they are fascinated with the building. They want to get up and walk around, and we have friends who come from all over,